Okay, good morning everybody. Good boss, good week. So, I just want to continue a little bit with the topic that we left off with in the previous year. We were learning the very last part of Siman Mum Gimel, the new sheets I put out of Siman Mum Dalet, which we might as well get to today. But I just wanted to add a couple of points to what we spoke about in the previous year. In the previous year, we learned about the dinim of making raisin wine. And we mentioned that when one makes raisin wine, the person explained that the ratio of raisins to water should not be greater than 1 to 6. Why? Because 6 parts of water to 1 part of wine, that already is mevatel the shein yayin. When you add that ratio of water, you lose the shein yayin, and one will no longer be low pressure. Often, and following that theme, folks can say that when one drinks raisin wine, one should make sure that one does not have a greater ratio than that. So let's just take this halacha out of the context of raisin wine and just apply it also to adding water to wine nowadays. Let's first say there's a couple of additional tumors, a couple of additional conditions attached to this shear of 1 to 6. It isn't a blanket rule that you can always add 1 to 6 and then that's okay, so long as it's less. And that ratio is so called wine. There are a couple of other conditions, which are A, that it should still retain taste of wine, so that it's really just completely lost its taste by this dilution and mistakes up, obviously it's no longer very crab often. And additionally, it is required that it should be an accepted derech, a usual fashion, to drink wine with this type of dilution. And if it isn't, then even though it are within the required ratio of 1 to 6, it already loses its shame of wine. And the shame of yain isn't entirely tolerant on a simple mathematical equation. It is also tolerant on the derech. The shame of yain is fixed based upon the derech toy. So if it's something which, if it's over the 1 to 6, but it's not the derech, it also loses its shame of wine. Having said that, when we look at our wines nowadays, it's probably very difficult for us to be clear with certainty, if at all, whether it is under any circumstances the derech to drink wine with added water. So very, 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 very unlikely and not very much heard of. It should be the derech to drink a particular wine with the addition of water. And therefore, it is highly advisable with our wines nowadays to avoid adding any water, because we don't know with certainty, in fact we can almost certainly say to the other side, that it is not the derech to add water nowadays, and that it is not the derech to drink our wines with mesitas.
Some people
drink the one. Yeah. I'm not sure it is. I think that it's a combination of wine and grape juice. I think that's what it is. That's really you can make it yourself.
No, it's not made, but really.
Well, what is it?
A strong Ukrainian want to buy low alcohol wine.
Yeah, so from what point of view?
Because he never know what kind of mix there
is. He's wondering really what is there.
Because he strongly recommends Iran. He strongly recommends to mix yourself.
To mix it yourself. It's make your own mixture is good. But that mixture we don't know what it is. Who knows?
This is what he's saying.
That's what he said.
Never buy low.
Yeah.
what I can tell.
I don't know
answer, but I think.
Maybe just mentioned it in the Pesach Shiva. The same thing follows all year round the world.
He was very concerned about Pesach Shiva. But he didn't tell the general, but
from here. Maybe the same thing applies. An additional concern is that also maybe our wives already have a certain amount of water added. And maybe that amount of water which is already there could be that is the death to drink it in that fashion. So if we start adding more water, we also don't know that we might be passing the fraction of one of it. So no added water. How much more so when we come to grape juice, where Bichlal, there's a topic in the Pesukim, whether on grape juice this shear of 1 to 6 will say, or whether the shear of 1 to 6 only applies to wine, and on grape juice, maybe Bichlal is no, there's no kula to be allowed to add water. So certainly one should avoid adding water to grape juice, or all the more so. There's one added point I want to speak about, and this is a discussion between now the Pesukim. We're not going to give a decision here, but just to make you aware of this issue. There are two types of grape juice available. There's grape juice which is entirely natural. The grape juice, this is the juice that was squeezed from the grape, put into the bottle, sold in the store. So essentially, maybe it's for our purposes. And there's the other type of grape juice, which is what we call reconstituted. And reconstituted, i.e. in simple terms, concentrated. In some shape or form, the water has been removed with it by boiling or some other method. This makes it easier for storing and transportation for whatever period of time that might be. And when it's close to the time of the product being marketed, so then the original water is put back in. I don't mean to say original water. I mean to say that amount of water to replace the not the original water, That would be some people. That would be really Irish,
Water
with powder. Yeah. But it's not a powder. Yeah. Like a summer heating, but it's a very thick concentrate. The way I sort of describe one of the first things that it's about, the concentrate is about a quarter of the original juice. It's a very light thick syrup. And actually, the ones that are concentrated don't necessarily say they're concentrates, but the ones that are 100% natural,
they call them 100% CV.
And they generally cost more, so you can also tell by the price.
Called 100% TV, 100%
natural. The TV is in Europe. An average cheap bottle of grape juice costs around 10 to 12 shekel. I think the TV, the natural ones, are normally closer to 16, 18 shekel. I don't know about
the
brand.
Even in the same barrel
of 14. Could be, who knows? But it's supposed to be different. So, let's just briefly explain what the shayla is over here. So there are some Christians who maintain that the reconstituted grape juice does not have a din of grape juice wine to be both pre-advocate. And their reason is that they say, first of all, based on the fact that maybe grape juice doesn't have the rule of being allowed to dilute it. So they maintain that once you change the concentrated grape juice very, very much. Made it into concentrate, that's fine. Now you start adding to it water, that is in the category of Nadiga, of adding water to grape juice. Which they say maybe you're not allowed to. Who said you're allowed to add water to grape juice? Secondly, some want to say that when it becomes very, very concentrated, it's simply a sort of fruit syrup that's lost its shame, wine, so nobody drinks it as wine in that form. And you cannot bring it back to its shame of wine or grape juice simply by adding water. Once it's lost the shame I got, then it doesn't go back to being the shame I got. Those are some of the swarms of the son of the Machmir. And the Mechilim, they say that you're simply replacing the water content that was there originally. Scientifically, it's the same product as it was when it began. With the concentration, all you've done is to remove the water content. And we didn't add any water, you put back the original water content, so can't claim that this is too much of a zigo, etc. I also just add that it does appear clear from both of the sources, both those are Latin and those are made, and we both mentioned that it's a widely accepted minhag in Am Yisrael to produce grape juice through the passion of concentration and considering grapes. And the Chassid Sofer talks about it, mentions that in many medinot, in many places in this pashit, the minhag to create grapes in this way and consider it grapes. Let's leave that discussion there. Oh, it's really also very big for you. Yes, I've got to do these two. Are these two things depend on one or the other? Factors they are, as far as Rosh Ragov is concerned, and as far as Samyeno is concerned. Yes, a very good point. Some of these.
That's why I'm a
professor. I think maybe we're of the Pumra, but not to rely on this as they could have. But indeed, some of the writers of the Mishnah Tikkun, who maintain that it does have a din of grape juice, are from halachas in Samyeno, where it seems to be accepted. In Samyeno, such a thing would have a din of yai. And he maintains that mashma is not just a chumra, mashma is ikar din, therefore that din is very forgotten as well.
Okay, just having a one
yeah.
So that's the one that had a strong about 50 or the earlier.
Yeah.
And Rav Moshe Shlomo was there. So he seems to say this is like an, if you add some wine to it, you've got to reconstitute grape juice.
Right.
Some wine. I don't remember if he said a specific quantity, right? That was one of the, as I said, you should add some wine and that would be written.
Also, that's what I was trying to understand. Actually, what
that was. And it would still be, I never understood it. It was something more inferior.
Yeah. I've also seen that.
I was thinking about the Beijing, because the Beijing put out the thing that says, for it yourself, and you use a location, whatever. And then he wasn't happy about that, but he said, if you're putting some branches, as I'm then that's
perfect. I've also heard that a lot around. There's an advantage to add a little bit of wine, and then it all becomes good for Adam, and fully understand what the reason is for that. Okay, so now, Mr. Shem, we're going to approach the next simon in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch.
Surely if you even had a tiny drop of Hadassah in a glass, even way below a shear, and you're going to drink it, you'd say very begotten, would you not?
Okay, so it would be, fine, it would be mutter you to make the broth of it. Once it's mixed, first of all, once it's mixed, let's say, if we were positive that the wine is both dragged off in the boat and the grape juice is charcoal, if you take that wine and mix it with something charcoal,
And you should
much of a lot of charcoal, first of all, it will leave you with something charcoal, and second of all, even if it wouldn't, you won't have a shear of wine for Kiddush or whatever for a
Kiddush.
The thing is, they're not really considered that you put wine into water.
Right, they're not considering it that. Yeah, so what is it?
It's something, it's got some.
They're considering it's like a very low alcohol wine or something like that. What's it worse than if you produce wine that doesn't have very much alcohol in it, something like that. Okay, so we're going to start now the next simon, the new simon they keep the Shulchan Aruch, simon Nun Dalet. We should give a brief hakdama for this simon. This simon, this chapter, looks at a topic in Hilchos Brachos which is extremely relevant, lamaisa, extremely practical, which is the concept of ikar the topic. What happens when we have two foods which accompany one another in various different forms? What bracha do we make? And these halakhas are guided by the principle that one is, if we are able to define that one of them is ikar, the main one, and one is simply a topic, a secondary item, then one makes the bracha on the ikar and not on the topic. The source of these dinim is a Mishnah in the second bracha of Gadol and Dalet. When the Mishnah talks about somebody who consumes a salty fish and also a piece of bread, and the purpose of doing so is because the fish is very, very salty, too salty. So the bread helps to counteract something a bit more savoury, and helps to counteract the overly salty taste of the fish. So the Mishnah said about this, that you make a bracha on the salty fish. And even bread, which generally is very, very kosher, becomes kosher for a bracha.
Regardless of amount.
Regardless of amount. Although, yeah, we have to look more closely at the details, but in a general sense, yes. And the Mishnah says, there are clouds, this is the general rule, kosher ikar, the imam fenor, anything which is the main item, and along with it comes something secondary, mevarik alo ikar, or make a bracha on the ikar, on the main thing, who put there as a fenor and exempt that which is secondary. Now let's just stress that these words of the Mishnah will make a bracha on that which is ikar and exempt that which is secondary. These words are very important and very much bedacht, i.e., meaning to say that one should not make the mistake of understanding that the when these two items are eaten together, one which is ikar, one which is tochel, one doesn't require any bracha on the top. That's not the correct understanding. It's delicate. Nusach is not that the tochel doesn't require a bracha because it's secondary, so it doesn't need any bracha. It needs a bracha, but the bracha on the ikar covers the tochel. It could be all types of masculinism of that point. Not that the tochel doesn't need any bracha, it does need a bracha. But the bracha which is made on the ikar covers the tochel. Let's give one example of something that. What will happen, something which comes out of that hakira, for example, what happens if one makes a bracha on an item which is on its own? There's no two items, you just make a bracha on its own. Then in the middle of eating, something you didn't have any doubt for it before, you didn't know about it, whatever, you add into it, you add into item number one, which is ikar, some additional item, which is tochel. So, were we to say that tochel doesn't need any bracha, so it doesn't need a bracha. But with the understanding that the bracha on the ikar is potent the tochel, it covers the tochel, that's all very good if it was known about, or it was there at the beginning. If it wasn't there, child, then it's not possible. Right, those are general words of introduction. Mitzvah Hashem, in the coming shiurim, we'll look at all these things more closely. There's a tremendous, there's a whole world of ikar v'tochel, tremendous amount of kingdoms and archimedes. I just want to remind again, and please, if anybody sees anybody else who comes usually regularly to our shiurim, that there's been a change of schedule, I'll be giving shiur on Mitzvah Hashem on Sunday, then on Tuesday, and on Thursday. On the other 2 days, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to shiur on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, so Mitzvah Hashem, Sunday and Thursday on the prophet, and Tuesday the shiur on the parashat Binyan. So if anybody sees anybody else who's part of our Chaburah, please mention that we've changed the schedule.